As God looks into our heart, you and I need to answer a question. What does our heart reveal to God? As we continue for the remainder of this year focusing on what it means to follow Jesus, and the more we look at all the blessings that through our faith in Jesus, you and I have received, the forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future. And you and I cannot grasp that, because too often our love is based on whether someone loves us. But God's love is based on His love. When He says, I give you love, meaning that in Christ, you and I love one another because Christ loves us. We may not love any part of an attitude or any part of a personality about an individual, but we are to love them and let God take care of what He sees is the problem. We try to pick problems of folks, including our own children and all. And in the process, we said, now this is your problem. Well, maybe sometimes we are their problem. And the problem is this, that as a Christian family, each one of us are to respect the love of Jesus Christ and respect that love in our fellow man. Well, yeah, but let's talk about the lost. I thought Jesus died for me while I was yet lost. Would I then not have a passion to go out and win the lost, let them know about the love that I have found? To be at peace in this body is not easy, folks. And on our own, we cannot attain that peace. It's too far from us. And God says, I want you to know the facts about who I am and who you can become in me and through me. I will give you the power. I will give you the courage. I'm going to take you right to the front line of life's battle, and I want you to watch me win the war for you. What a leader! I'm going to go before you. Christians worship and serve a leader that has told us that he's gone to heaven before us to prepare a way and a home to receive us. That's what love is. Love is to reach beyond what we see as reachable. Love is the truth of God in action. Love means that I'll take the beating for my child. I'll take the hurt for my child. Ultimate love is I will take the cross for my enemies. I will die for whosoever will. I will give life to those who have no life. I will reach into the very depth of man, and it will be me that cleans man up. We cannot do it. Well, God says, let me assure you of this. I want you to go to work for me. I want you to minister on my behalf. I want you to represent me. Do we not understand the awesome love that is involved in that statement for us? Whosoever will come in, I will receive them. Whosoever will go out, I will send you. And as God sends us, He does not send us in hate and bitterness. He sends us to tell other individuals the truth about peace, the truth about ultimate love, to reach down and look into the mind and the heart of us who are sinners, and to lift his voice as Christ did. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he said, I love them, Lord. And we were given the promise that whoever is loved of the Lord will be with the Lord. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So where's the difficulty? The world says it's in the simplicity again of the gospel. It's just too simple. Really? Maybe they should focus on attempting to tell the world that they're Christian. And tell me how easy that is. Christianity is under attack. But folks, Christianity had been under attack since the beginning of time. Jesus Christ had pre-planned to come, and he gave us the freedom to choose. To choose love or choose hate. You'd be surprised how many people don't want to quit hating. They find some kind of solace in a hatred that is within them. If there was ever hatred to be shown, would it not have been shown on the cross? Would the hurt and the brokenness, would through the love and the life of your own loved one, how would you feel? Knowing that you have only to speak, have only to look in a direction, and all the hurt and pain, the evil coming against your child is gone. But there was a reason. And that reason is love. That reason is God looking to the heart and saying, I know you don't understand now, but one day you will. Now you can only see dimly through a dim glass of the love that I have for you. But one day you will stand face to face with me, and then your eyes will be open and you can see what love accomplishes. You can witness firsthand where God was at the time of your tragedy. He's right there with us. The one who promised he will never leave nor forsake us does not change his mind. He loves us. He loved us before we were saved. Why would you think that his love after we're saved would be no longer remembered or applicable? God says, I love you this much. And God stayed his own hand from delivering his own son to express to you and me how great his love is for us. And then he gives us a nation that's been blessed more than any other nation in any modern times. The United States of America. It's the promised land. It's the land that everybody wants to reach, legal or otherwise. Why? It's the promised land. It's a land of hope. Every step of your life focuses and centers around hope. Promise of today, hope for tomorrow. Jesus, when he wakes us up of a morning and we're ready to say, Lord, I messed up yesterday real bad. Do you think he didn't know it? But he does want us to admit it. And as soon as we get out of bed, we've done it again. And we wake up. And Christ is still there. I still am complete. And you and I will battle in this life, in this body, until God calls us from it. And when he does, he wants us to understand this. Because of his grace, a believer's sin, yes, we all sin, can never cause God's rejection. When you would read in the Old Testament the stories and the prophets are telling, and you would see the prophet put on hold, you will see God chastising. He said, one will come, and one day when he comes, you're not going to have to ask, because you're going to know. Because he will reveal you himself within your heart. And I'll let you know, don't you use fear as an excuse not to serve him. Stand up and stand up for the glory of God. Speak out. Speak out in love. Speak out as a bridge will bridge between the world and your own heart. But stand firm in God's word. Do not move a very one way or the other. For it is through his word we will find that hope. Look at Hebrews 7:25 once again. Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the right hand of the Father right now, mentioning your name and my name. I think that's pretty cool. He's talking to the Father about us. And the Father is looking and paying attention. And here is the ultimate of gifts, salvation. And along with that salvation is the gift of knowing you cannot lose it. Nor can it be taken away by the hand of anyone. The Holy Scripture says, either by angels, principalities, powers, nothing can pull us out of his hand. And the world laughs. That's the way those Baptists are. No, that's Christianity. I serve a Lord who's quite able to finish the work he began in me. Because I couldn't begin it, he did. And he said, I will bring it to completion. Well, when's it complete? When I'm out of this body. And as the body falls, I will not be there. If you hear that shout, once again, I remind you, that's me. Because the truth is, God's love is greater. Listen to what I had for you. Anymore, it is very difficult for me to even say this is what I'm going to preach, because it seems to change about the time I get up here. But listen to this. Number one, because God's love is unconditional. I can't be rejected because God's love is unconditional. Now, Larry, if you mess up when you leave here, you got to get saved again. Well, see, my salvation is of the Lord, not of me. I didn't save me. Christ saved me. And as I told you last Sunday, when Jesus does something, he does it right the first time. And he says, now that you're saved, listen to Lamentations 3, verse 22. God's compassion never ends. Anybody got trouble with the word never? It is only his mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. That's how bad we are. Only through the mercy of God are we blessed to even exist. God said it is through his mercies that he doesn't destroy us. Be thankful. And be careful when you're telling God, destroy my enemies. God knows exactly who will accept his son as Lord and Savior. And let me tell you this. An enemy that you may have that accepts Christ as Lord and Savior and becomes your friend will be one of the strongest friends on earth you'll ever find. Now, I've got to tell you this. It's been in my heart because I've noticed the sale of children rampant again in our country and others, kidnapping the children and selling them on the sex slave market. Many years ago, I had been in the prison system for a few years. But there was an individual outside of Hardin County. This individual had went to a couple of parents in Hardin County and was renting their daughters from them. And he was prostituting those daughters at Cincinnati, Louisville, and wherever he could. That individual developed after he ended up in prison, and I may have had something to do with stopping an escape attempt. And the captain had told me one day when I went in, Larry, you can't go on the yard today. And I said, why not? I said, he has put a hit out, meaning to kill me, on the prison yard. At that time, 2,500 inmates walked out there, and we walked among them. And I said, look, I'm going to minister. I want to minister. It will be fine. Just let me out on the yard. I don't worry about him. And the captain says, no, you don't understand. An individual that I had helped almost a year earlier with his son, as his son lay dying with cancer at 12 years old, he wanted to go see his son in the hospital, and the regulations said, no. I'd worked with this gentleman, and anyway, was able to get him a way to go to the bedside of his son before he died. Later, within 2 months, his son died, and they said he can't go to the funeral because he's already been to the bedside. But he got to go to the funeral. That individual was himself a hitman for drug gangs. And the part of that story that is so amazing is this. The officers could not protect me. And this guy that was wanting me dead had went to the guy that I, inmate, who I had helped get to his son, who was one of the real hit people. And they said, we're afraid that Michael will kill Terry. And we're trying to catch both of them because he wanted to kill you. All of these years, I've thought back on that for this reason. God will provide protection. And God uses and provides that protection in mysterious ways and with a lot of mysterious people. But God still protects. But the vileness of life is on replay in our society. It is so common now for children to be sold. And so common that as those children are sold, the parents are paid money. Folks, you're Christian. You're not for sale. You see, it is Christ who's going to protect us out on the streets. Mom and Dad cannot be with you all the time. Jesus can. And he will do the protecting. But what if my child ends up dead? Will that happen? There's not a day goes by that I don't worry about a son that puts his uniform on as a police officer. But you see, as a Christian, I understand something. I know who my protector is, and I know who his protector is. And God uses all of us to reach out in some way. The story of hurt and pain can turn into love and hope. But God says, pay attention. My love for you is unconditional. It can't change. No matter how bad you think you are, it doesn't mean that Christ doesn't love you. Number two, because our salvation is not performance-based. Well, now, you're going to come to heaven if you make it to church, let's see, 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. Well, and you got to do so many good deeds. That has nothing to do with my salvation. I'm saved. You're saved by the blood of Christ. You are saved by what he has done for us, not what we do for him. Titus 3 verse 5, he saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy. He has mercy on us because he knows who we are. Look at number 3. Because Jesus has already taken our punishment. How would God reject an individual such as any of us? This God who watched his son take my punishment and your punishment, and his son sitting at his right hand, making intercessory prayer on our behalf, and people think that there's no way that individual's going to heaven. You be thankful it's not left up to Congress to decide whether Christians go to heaven or hell. 1 John 2:2. When Jesus served as a sacrifice. You catching that? Served as a sacrifice. I will die for them, Father. And you see the Father serving him up on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. He solved the sin problem for God. Not only ours, but the whole world's. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, you can read it all you want to and try to turn it around. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's simple. Then why aren't more saved? If it's so simple, you cannot call on the name of the Lord unless you are under conviction to call on the name of the Lord. Conviction comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by what somebody else says. The preachers are to preach and proclaim the truth of God, his word, not how we think or what we think he should have said. Number 4. Because Jesus understands human weaknesses, doesn't he, though? Oh, it takes a very short study, my friends, very short, to realize those 12 disciples represented every one of us and all the foolishness that we brought into life. Hebrews 4, verse 15. He, meaning Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So he has conquered that. And the whole point and the whole focus for us is, look, Christian, you're heaven bound. Now don't use your past as an excuse not to serve Christ in the present. Well, you know, if I just didn't have all this baggage. When Jesus died for you, did he not and did you not give to him that baggage and he take it and he says, go forth? Or maybe we just don't want to go forth because we're too ornery. Or we'll just sit back and we will receive in and never give back. God said, be careful with that. You sow little, you'll reap little. So what do we give? I can't be rejected by God because the Bible tells me so. Jesus' promises that are in my heart, I know that. Can I explain it? No. As I say almost every Sunday, I cannot even understand why God even loves me and why he even puts up with me. And I'm the pastor. You see, it's all about who he is, not who we are. It's about his great promise, his great love. And number five, because God doesn't hold on to grudges. You want to see somebody die in misery? Look at someone who refuses to forgive and holds on. I know what you did to me. You know what'll pop your bubble on that one? Look inside your own heart and say to Christ, I know what I did to you, Lord. And yet he still loves me. He loves me. Now, when you're loved by God, tell me what we have to fear. Oh, they can kill you. Okay. Does anybody realize that as a Christian, we'll never die? They can kill the body, but they don't have authority to do that unless God gives them that authority. And when he gives them that authority, do we not understand that my salvation, your salvation, when I am killed, standing on the hope and the promises of God, that I will immediately be with him, no pain, ultimate love. So yeah, I'm scared to death by getting killed. Really? You know, I am frightened for those who mock God. I really am. I'm frightened for those who are cutting off the heads of Christians throughout the world. It's coming here, already has been, just because they serve Christ. Isn't that what a way to go? But I'm not going anywhere till God says so. You tell the world that about yourself. When they say you're no longer needed for anything. Really? Have we watched a whole generation destroy the lives of the elderly? Have we watched time after time as people will take their elderly, stick them in a home, and never visit them ever again? Have we paid any attention to what's going on within our own communities and within our own families, where people are used, parents are used, grandparents are used until they're used up and then tossed in the garbage can, and your pastor gets a call, doesn't have anything anymore? How about you all looking after them for us? Okay. Look where we have come. We've taken the wisdom and pushed it aside. Be careful. God is watching. What you think you will gain, you will lose. Psalm 103, verses 9 through 13. This is David. God will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins. Do you hear that? Nor does he deal with us as we deserve. I just want what I deserve. I want mercy. I want forgiveness. I want grace all the time. Well, I just want what? No, you don't want what you deserve. He is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear, of which this term means revere, who fear him or revere him, put him up in reverence. He's tender and compassionate. Don't see much of that today, do we? Let me share this in closing. I'd mentioned to Hunter, my grandson, the other day, and was going back to church Wednesday. I was listening to the announcer talk about this good deed of a kid buying a police officer meal or ice cream, and that, and they are. That is great. But you know what really hurts us? That goodness like that is so rare, it makes headline news. Don't we see something wrong there? This morning it was about a tip where a waitress paid for a police officer's meal. That's making news? The greatest fear I've ever had, and I've said it from the beginning of my ministry 40 years ago, the greatest fear that I have is to see headlines that says, you know, Larry Vance got saved the other day because those who coming to Christ are so few. Headlines, good deeds, Jesus, they wanted to kill him. For what? Good deeds, love, peace, forgiveness. I just have a hard time figuring that one out. The one who loves us the most is the one most people want to destroy and tell us don't even mention his name. Can't help it. I know Jesus. You know what's great? He knows me. Why would I reject a Savior that has done so much for me? I pray to God each week that I will be able to stand in the pulpit the following Sunday, but only wanting to do that through his will. But I realize also that one Sunday will be the last. Which one that is, I don't know. But I can tell you, I do know my Savior. And I do know where I'll be. And I refuse to not proclaim him as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, each of us lift to you the love of our heart, the heart you've given us, Lord. I pray, Father, that as you have given us the heart of peace and love, you will strengthen us that we might take that peace and that love to the lost and dying. Oh, help us, Father, express your truth through your love. Let your will be done in the heart of each one. Thank you, Father, for putting up with us. And Father, if any of us forget you this week, please don't forget us. We beg for mercy, peace, and grace. And we do so in the name of Jesus. Amen.